Well, I get to talk about fatherhood. And the interesting thing is I've just became father of a baby girl a few days, 10 days ago. I know you guys have been asking. I appreciate the support and the prayers, but baby Iris is beautiful. She's absolutely amazing. Olga's doing great. So we're really excited about that. So the topic of fatherhood is certainly striking a chord with me this past week. So we've been, as Dan said, we're talking about foundational truths, getting kind of back to the things that our church has carried as prominent values that we want to make sure we grasp and have a hold on. And last week, Matt Hellman shared with us about knowing God. And all that entails, the potential, the power, and the possibilities we have when we learn to walk with God, where it's not just the life of checkboxes, right, but it is an active, vibrant relationship with Him. And then ultimately coming into eternal life with Him, John chapter 17, verse 3, right? And this is eternal life, that you would know God. So tonight, another subcategory of knowing God is knowing God the Father, and I believe we'll cover the other two, which is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We kind of have to know them all, right, to be able to get a collective picture of God. We get a little taste of who God is in each entity, right? God as Father, God as Son, and God as the Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to be talking about fathers in general, right? Because I think a lot of what we think about when it comes to fatherhood comes from our experience here on earth. And how wonderful it is that God does relate to us in a way that we can understand, right? It's not some abstract idea. The idea of fathers is a human experience for everyone, for the most part. Everyone has a father in their life, at some point did, has an experience, and God chooses to, He is a father, and that's how He chooses to relate to us. And we know that fathers, they play a pivotal role in society, right? That's without a question. And I don't think I have to go into much detail. We're in a church, we understand the value of a good father in one's life. We're not really going to be litigating that here today. But just to kind of refresh, right? Men in the ancient world, they were very powerful in the sense that they held the key to the progress and the prosperity of a nation, because there was no growth in a nation if men were not there. And so if another nation was coming in, the main priority was kill all the men. We can spare everyone else, but let's get rid of the men, because that is the lineage of this city, of this nation. We need to disrupt that. So the attack was for the men, was for the fathers, to make sure that life was not going to continue. It started with the men. We know also, as we unravel the idea of the prominence of fathers or of dads in life, even as we read the scriptures, right, and we read of men that accomplish prominent things. How are they introduced in the scriptures? So-and-so, son of father, right? And that reality even continues into today. In Slavic culture, right, I'm Ukrainian. When I was born, my parents, my middle name was actually Viktorovich, which is my father's name. Olga still has her father's name. I removed it because it became very confusing for a lot of people. But if I was still back in Ukraine, or if you were in Russia or Bulgaria or any other Slavic country, as you grow up and you go into the workforce or wherever you are, or even in your neighborhood, people did not address you by your first name. They addressed you by your father's name. And so, as it relates to me, my dad's name happens to be Victor, so they would say Viktorovich. Or Olga's dad was Stepanyevna, right? Your first name stopped existing. You went by your father's name. And again, that even continues now. In, for example, India, your first name, you get the first initial of your father's name, and then your first name continues on. In Iceland, your last name takes the form of your father's first name. So dads, even today, as societies and cultures unfold, they still play a pretty prominent role, right, in continuing the lineage of humanity. Right, and I think that underscores just the beauty and the value of a healthy father figure in one's life and the possibilities that it opens up for all of humanity. And it's not too long ago that Matt Schaefer actually shared with us on a similar topic, right, from the book of Ephesians, because in the beginning part of Ephesians, there is that reference to God the Father who has blessed us richly in Christ. And so I don't want to go through all that and rehash that all over again, but I do want to remember just a few things, some of the statistics that he brought out to kind of set the base for what we're going to be talking about a little bit today. 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. 80% of children with behavioral disorders, 80% of them come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescents in substance abuse centers are from fatherless homes. Girls from fatherless or absent fathers are 8 times more likely to get pregnant. And then this one, on average for a school-age boy, a father will spend about 30 minutes a week in one-on-one conversation with their son. And by comparison, that same son will spend about 60 hours watching TV, playing video games, or on the internet. So there's certainly a pandemic of fatherlessness in our society. It may be a little bit different in other countries, but that's certainly not the case here. We have an issue with fathers being present. And so I think when we talk about fatherhood, the subject in general brings up certain experiences in our mind. Some of maybe the most deepest and most powerful, most life-altering, most life-changing and life-shaping experiences, both good and bad, potentially, right? Because of the impact and the influence of fathers. And the unfortunate reality that we keep in mind is that in every part of human life, every part of human life has been stained by sin's presence. And our experience as fathers, or with our earthly fathers, has been unfolding alongside this curse, causing a skewed idea of good, true, and pure fatherhood. So it would be true to say that with every day, God, our Heavenly Father, wants to take us back to the truest and purest knowledge and experience of what fatherhood ought to be like. Not just for our human relationships here on earth with our fathers, but ultimately because this is how He relates to us. So, good for us and our earthly fathers, but ultimately because He is our Heavenly Father. So I think He really wants to make sure that we understand that. And He was a father to Jesus even before the world was created, because in John chapter 1, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was Jesus. And the Spirit was hovering above the waters." God was in relationship with Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they were together. And Father was there before anything was created. So this is not some unique way that God wanted to manifest Himself to us. This is who He was, this is who He is, and this is who He will be, a Father. And Jesus modeled to us what a perfect relationship with a father looks like. He's our older brother. And so we get that because when the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," Jesus says, "You want to learn? Sure. This is how you talked to God, our Father. Our Father." This is how Jesus wanted His disciples to learn to talk to God, their Father. And Matt Hellman last week shared with us an interesting point that I want to underline for us today, is that Jesus didn't author anything. He didn't author any writings. There's no book that's written and authored by Jesus. All that we have is that Jesus spent 3 years of life with a group of disciples, teaching them how to relate and how to connect with their Heavenly Father. Jesus also came, obviously, to offer Himself as a sacrifice, which, again, was showing ultimately the complete surrender to the Father's will and to the Father's plan. Again, pointing us back to the way that we, as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, ought to connect and relate to Him. And as we wrapped up Mark, we've been covering Jesus as the King, right? And I think there is, and this is a discussion that I found very helpful as we were talking about this with the teaching team, that there is often a very strong, maybe an overwhelmingly strong emphasis on Jesus, if I may dare to say so. Maybe so much so that we don't absorb enough or really take in and fully understand God as our Father. It's something so much more close and something so much more intimate, right? But Jesus came not to proclaim Himself and reveal just Himself. He came to reveal the Father, not just to save us from our sins. He came to reveal the Father and show us the way to the Father. Again, not to diminish Jesus, but saying, like, collectively speaking, God the Father. Who is Father? What does that mean to us? And I think it would do us good to try to maybe dig into that a little bit more and try to understand that and absorb that for ourselves, in spite of maybe some of the experiences that we might have had and that I think to some degree you try to project on God, our Father. So what is unique to fatherhood in general that gives us a glimpse of God as our Father in the family of God? That's what I want to talk about today. And I want to share specifically two powerful characteristics that fathers have, but ultimately they are powerful characteristics of our Heavenly Father. I think a lot of what I'm going to share today will kind of be fatherly experiences here on earth, because I think a lot of those experiences, they do reflect the way God cares and fathers us, right? So the first one is purpose. One of the powerful characteristics that fathers have is to be able to provide and give purpose. What does my son Jehu understand about the purpose of his life right now? He's a 7-year-old boy. He doesn't understand much about the purpose in his life. The purpose to learning math, the purpose to putting on a helmet, the purpose to learning good manners, learning to put in the work even when he doesn't feel like it, to going to school, learning how to read. He can't. He has a lot of growing up to do. He's incapable of understanding that, because Jehu can't see beyond today. He needs his mom and he needs his dad for that. He needs me. Life, in his mind, would just be milkshakes, basketball, and school when he feels like it, and it's only got to be when he feels like it, and it's all got to be only fun. And if it's not fun, then he's not participating in it. That's Jehu's interpretation of a life well-lived and a purposeful life, right? That tells you everything there is to say if Jehu had to determine his own purpose in life, right? But the reality is this similar dynamic is the one that we have with our Heavenly Father. What do we know of life's purpose? What do you and I know of life's purpose? Because one can argue and say that the wiser you grow, the more you know how little you actually know. How little you actually know about God and its purpose and what God is wanting to accomplish. And how much we ultimately need God's purpose, the Father's purpose, unveiled to us. But the reality is our Heavenly Father, He has a plan. And He has a purpose. And He has a very specific purpose in mind that He wants to accomplish. And He wants to get all the sons and daughters that He could possibly get on board with His purpose. He wants sons and daughters to join Him in this purpose. See, under the Old Covenant, God the Father was unapproachable, or not as easily approached. The purpose was unveiled, but there was no means, because what the Father required was too much for what man can deliver, what man could offer. And then enter John chapter 15, verse 26. We read, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you Jesus is saying to the disciples. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Helper from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. So now there is a way. Now there is a way for us to be able to join in more powerfully and be aligned with the purposes of our Heavenly Father. Amen. And sin can't hold us back because, as we studied in Ephesians, we have been adopted into the family of God. We have joined the family, and we are able now to participate in the family vision, God's family vision, His purpose. And we see Jesus modeled that perfectly for us. Jesus was living out the Father's will and purpose in the everyday. We read in John chapter 8, and in fact, a lot of John, and specifically in chapter 8, there are so many references, I can't go through all of them, but I'm going to read this snippet here. John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus says, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." If you look up the word Father in the New Testament, I would say 75% of the word Father comes up in John, because Jesus is talking about the Father, Him and the Father, what He's doing with the Father and what the Father's wanting to do and how this partnership is unraveling and how beautiful it is to see that Jesus came really not to execute His own ideas. He came to execute the Father's plan. And so from interacting with children to confronting legalistic Pharisees to feeding people to eating with people, every interaction was an execution of the Father's purpose and the Father's plan. And ultimately culminating in what, if you guys recall, Kenton's sermon on Jesus in the garden, right? The wrestling that Jesus had in the garden. Father, if there's another way, let's do it. But if not, your will be done. Jesus' absolute allegiance was what the Father was wanting to accomplish in the way that He wanted to accomplish it. That was His whole life's purpose and whole life's mission. Powerful Jesus, God manifested in the flesh. He didn't speak for Himself. He was the Father's mouthpiece, executing on the Father's behalf. That's Jesus. And Jesus was the perfect Son. So what does that look like for us? It's quite the high bar, right? What does that look like for us? Well, the possibilities are no different for us. As hard as it is to believe sometimes, every moment in time can be an expression and alignment with the Father's purposes in your life and in my life. Everything in our life can have the Father's purpose behind it. There is no waiting for a more purposeful season in life. Maybe a more meaningful time to raise children or a more meaningful job that I need to attain. In our Heavenly Father, there is a purpose in every single season in our life. And we don't have to wait for it. We just have to seek it out from Him. He has it. That purpose oftentimes gets very tough. It's challenging. We're faced with outcomes that we don't like. We worry, we lose our sleep over it, which leads me to my next, what I think is possibly the most powerful characteristic of fathers, and one that I think our Heavenly Father carries well. We talked about purpose. I want to talk about provision next, because He is a Father of perfect provision for living out His purpose. To be able to absorb the purpose, we can't do this on our own. And to be able to do that, God provides so generously for us. Let's talk about that for a little bit. What does Jack Eaton or Ezekiel Gabriel or Margot Green know about what they need? When to eat, when to sleep, how much to sleep? Mom and Dad take care of all that for them. I could say that about, you could say it about any of our kids, right? And just think about the disparity in what they know about life's reality and how a mom and a dad need to bridge the gap for them. That's about the disparity that we have in understanding in thinking we know what life requires and what our Heavenly Father knows life requires from us. We are right about that disconnected, if not more, right? If not more. That disconnected from really knowing what life needs. And so we really need a Father that provides, because we can't. We don't know what we need most of the time, a lot of the time. Do you know what you need? Maybe you need a new job. Maybe you need a different personality. Maybe you need a better family or better behaved kids. Don't sweat it, because God knows it all. He knows who you're going to get married to, how many kids you're going to have, what your health is going to be at 60 years old, what the outcome of your career is going to be. Even as we can sit and contemplate those things right now, what's tomorrow going to bring? What's a year from now going to bring? God knows all that. That's not a mystery to him. And everything is being worked out as we follow God according to his good pleasure, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And ultimately for our good. Do we believe that when we follow God? That he works everything according to his good pleasure and ultimately for our good. And so to understand God's fatherhood would mean to rest in his provision, in his providence. What we want and what is being provided in life may be two very different things, but being content and choosing to trust God, choosing to let the Father do what the Father does, is the trust that God is looking for from his children in him as a Heavenly Father. Yeah. Let me go back to my notes and see where I was. To understand God's fatherhood would mean to rest in his provision. What we want and what is being provided may be two different things. Being content and choosing to trust God is what God would want from us as children, trusting a loving Father. Earthly fathers, they try, but their skills don't match the love, care, and provision of our earthly Father. And I've seen that in my own life. I've seen that specifically in one example where when Jeho was born, Olga and I were really on a mission. Like, you know, our son, he's not going to be a picky eater. We're going to make sure, like, nope, you're not going to be eating mac and cheese and hot dogs the rest of your life. Boy, you're going to learn to eat Ukrainian, Indian food, everything, right? And so God decided to really grace us with a child that from a pretty early age, he was pretty picky. So we had our work cut out for us. Speaking of fatherhood, though, I remember one specific instance where he's always loved lasagna. We didn't have a problem with lasagna. So we had lasagna for dinner one day. And one day, he decided he wasn't going to eat lasagna. And I was like, well, boy, all right, let's dig in. We're going to fight this out. So he was at the kitchen table for a long time. We were talking about, hey, you got to learn to enjoy all foods. I was giving him all the lectures he needed. I mean, he was pretty young. What was he, maybe 2.5, 3 years old? And in that instance, I remember, I mean, we tried hard. It was intense. Nobody cried, but it wasn't pretty. We lost. He won. He did not eat lasagna. Well, he is 7 years old now. He can't stand lasagna. He won't put lasagna in his mouth. As much as we'll try and the different flavors and different ways it's prepared, if we say it's lasagna, he's not eating it because of that time. And that goes to show what kind of father I can be, right? I'm trying to teach my kid, hey, you're going to learn to eat. I mean, it's a good desire, right? But execution kind of lacks taste sometimes. And I think that's the reality about most fathers, right? Intentions are great, but we are imperfect in so many different ways. And when I look back at examples like this, I'm reminded of how good my Heavenly Father is that he doesn't have bad taste. He doesn't have problems in dishing out provision for me in my life. And he doesn't have problems with providing for anyone else. His provision is perfect. We don't ever have to question his provision. Lasagna or whatever it is, it's perfect. We just need to trust, right?
And I wanted to reassure us that his fatherhood is impeccable specifically in two areas of struggle that I think for us humans is we experience prominently in life. And he provides for us exactly what's needed in these moments. And I want to underline them today a little bit. God our Father, he provisions for us discipline. The chastening of a father. Good, healthy chastening. We would be ignorant parents if the path that we chose for our kids was the one of least resistance. Everyone knows that would be foolish. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't materialize into anything positive. We've had the pleasure of having four seasons of baseball now. And I remember one of the first seasons that we had, Coach Josh Gilpin was one of the coaches, and it was me and a few other guy dads. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened on the field. I mean, bats flying everywhere, balls falling on top of heads, people accidentally getting whacked, getting out, I mean, falling down, tripping. It was all over the place. But I remember this one specific moment where Jehu got a really bad out, and it was really painful for him. And Coach Josh comes up, and I try to do as much as I can as a dad, but I try to stay on the sidelines to kind of let other dads come in. And I see this moment unfold, and it was so powerful. He's crying. I mean, this was years ago, so this was early times. He doesn't cry now about baseball, thankfully. But early on, Coach Josh came to him, and he's like, what's the phrase he used? And it's a phrase that I've heard Asa use. He just came and he's like, hey, shake it off and keep at it. Shake it off and keep at it. Come on, shake it off and keep at it. Just like, all right, let's go. Let's move on. And a few times after that, I know even his son Asa's come up to Jehu. He's like, hey, shake it off and keep at it. Let's keep going, you know? And when I think about God our Father, I think of him that way. Hey, shake it off and keep at it. Let's go. A little pain, a little struggle, that's okay. It's not a problem. Don't focus on it. It's going to hurt, but let's go. Let's play the game. We've got bigger things to do, right? Let's not focus on the struggle. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, Peter says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? A good father sees past who the child is now, and is constantly cultivating that child towards a future of themselves that they are not able to see themselves at the moment. We do that for our own kids. Our Heavenly Father does that perfectly because he sees it all. We can only see so much in our kids, but our Heavenly Father sees it perfectly. And he has a future self of you in mind that he is cultivating you and me towards. A you that is more loving to your spouse, quicker to forgive, where your heart is more full of kindness and more full of compassion, wiser, more full of the fruit of the Spirit and his giftings maybe. He is cultivating you and me towards that. And so a little discipline, a little pain, that's what he has in mind. He has big things in mind, right? We can't keep our eyes on the struggle. We can't fixate ourselves on the pain. We got to fixate ourselves on the fact that the Father has something bigger in store. And we must endure knowing that as a good father, he's teaching us because chastisement is normal. The struggle is normal. So every discomfort and gnawing pain, when carried out without complaint, is working for us an eternal weight of glory, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. It's working for us an eternal weight of glory when it is carried out without complaint. That's provision, the provision of discipline. Another provision that I want to talk about is the provision of comfort. See, amidst a painful and sinful world, all of creation, Scripture says, groans. It groans. Why? Because of sin's presence and the way that it just has a way of wrecking everything around. And although we are loved by our Father, redeemed by Jesus' blood, empowered by the Holy Spirit,
the presence of sin is still all around us. And so why I think, you know, and no human can escape. There's wars, there are conflicts, relational tensions, diseases, natural disasters. Those things are still here. And God, our Heavenly Father, He is not an absent Father. He is a redeeming Father, in fact. Not only does He comfort us in those moments, but He is able to redeem the pain and the struggle of sin towards a good end. And so what Satan deems for evil, the Father redeems towards good. That's what Joseph said to his sons after having been betrayed. What you deemed for evil, God had in store for good. That is the provision of comfort that we receive from God. And so the reality is we are not, we are victims of many different things, but the embrace of the Father has a way of erasing the hurt and the pain and the struggle that like nothing else can. Right? What we provide for our kids when they're hurting and conflicts that they come into that we can't resolve, but simply being with them, comforting their soul and bringing peace, right? That's our Heavenly Father. In the midst of our struggle with sin and with pain, He comes in and is able to bring a comfort like no one else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, but God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability," which tells us again, because God is all-knowing, He knows you and I, and He knows our future, that He will never introduce something into our lives and allow something in our lives that you and I cannot handle. Everything that you are facing today and have faced in the past is something that He knows that you are able to overcome. He doesn't put you into a dead end. He provides a way out. Same verse. He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You will not go through anything that you cannot bear. That is the provision of God's comfort in our lives. And so even as He disciplines for us to be sharpened and better and become stronger, He also provides comfort in the situations where just the reality of the sting of sin, of the sinful world around us, right? He can protect us from all those things, but He chooses to be a comforting Father around all those moments for us to be able to need Him and to want Him in those moments. And so, as I'm going to wrap up slowly, your Heavenly Father, He has a purpose for you in every part of your everyday life. You lack motivation in life? Your Heavenly Father has plenty of it. Don't sweat it. He has the purpose. You don't have a purpose? The Father has a purpose. You lack a little guidance? He has it. Just come to Him. Our Heavenly Father also has provision. He has the whole world in His hands. Our kids sing that song. He has the whole world, everything, all the mountains, the seas, the oceans, everything, the circumstances, the conflicts in the world, they're all in His hands. Our life sometimes seems so big and large and complicated and convoluted, and the issues are so twisted and it's impossible to unravel. That's so small for God because He's got the whole world. He's got everything. It's your Father's. Don't shy away from the struggle and from the difficulty. Be emboldened, not in your own strength and in your own wisdom. Lean on the Father. He wants you to lean on Him. That's what fathers are for, is to be leaned on, to be dependent upon. He wants that from you as a child of His, as a son and as a daughter. The love of the Father is greater and more powerful than anything that you can be a victim of. Don't miss out, and I say this for myself, let us not miss out on the beauty and the comfort and the joy of being fathered by the greatest Father. Let us not miss out on that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. You and I, the children of God. Amen.